Episode 126, BulaNetwork.com. Hey kids, welcome back to the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. Today, I'm going to give you three compelling reasons to use block scheduling. We'll talk about that next. Hey, welcome back to Dallas-Fort Worth. This is where the Yellow Studio is located. Block scheduling is typically associated with the world of education. In fact, Wikipedia says this about block scheduling. Pardon, but let's read this because this may help us better understand why I stumbled upon this and began to use this in the world of business and entrepreneurship years and years and years ago. Block scheduling is a type of academic scheduling in which each student has fewer classes per day, example 4, but each class is scheduled for a larger period of time, example 90 minutes. In one form of block scheduling, a single class will meet every day for a number of weeks, after which another class will take its place. In another form, daily classes rotate through a changing daily cycle. Blocks offer more concentrated experiences of subjects with fewer classes daily. There may be a less regular rhythm of homework for any given class. Conversion to block scheduling became a relatively widespread trend in American middle schools and high schools in the 1990s. Prior to that, many schools scheduled classes such that a student saw every one of their teachers every day. Classes were approximately 40 to 60 minutes long, but under block scheduling, they became approximately 90 minutes long. Now, years ago, I began to implement block scheduling in business and in consulting with other business owners because it just addressed so many challenges that I happened to be facing at the time. I don't recall what year it was that I had this epiphany. And as you know, I am just a man in search of an epiphany. But I was thinking, and the kids were very small, toddlers. So it's been pushing 30 years ago. See if this doesn't sound familiar to your life. Constant interruptions. Now, this is long before email hit us, but phones and yes, faxes and real live human beings walking in, just not having the ability to spend any, it seemed, focused time on specific issues. And then if I had something that seemed to be pressing, but I needed the cooperation or I needed someone else's involvement, invariably, well, they weren't available when I was available. And here's one that I know hits a ton of us. Allowing unimportant, but really urgent, got to do it now, kinds of things to demand most of our attention. Now, there's two things that had not yet been invented. Well, maybe they'd been invented, but we didn't know about them. I didn't know about them. Life hacking. There's a terrific website about this, by the way. A book or two has been written about this subject. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the website. I'm a fan of the book. Life Hacker is, it's terrific stuff, but back when this was all happening for me, I never heard that term. Nobody used that term. That term was certainly not in the mainstream, if it was anywhere. I rather doubt it was anywhere. Another phrase that I had no awareness of was lifestyle design. Now, that just sounded like something that the rich and famous might engage in, but we mere mortals, we didn't. I was just a young business guy looking to fix my problems. And I remember an evening thinking back to an early college class that I had taken, which was required at the big state university that I attended, of all incoming freshmen. It was a class that earned you no credit, and as I recall it, I don't know, there might have been 2 to 4 sessions. I mean, it didn't go very long, and it didn't last for very many weeks, if a couple. And I recall, seems to me that it was neither an early morning or it was an evening kind of a class, and all the incoming freshmen were required to take it. It really had, at its heart, it was, here's how to succeed at college. Now, I look back and I know why a college wants you to succeed. Well, there's a variety of reasons, none of the least of which is, well, we want you to stay here. We want you to continue to pay your tuition here and be a paying customer. And I'm not throwing rocks at their motive. It was a noble, well-intended class. Now, there were many aspects of it that I thought were, okay, fairly worthless, but yeah, I was young, stupid, weren't we all? I did pay attention. I did take notes. I'm a voracious note taker. And I do recall going to the bookstore, and there were some books that they suggested. Again, there was no required reading. This was not a 4-credit class. But I did buy a book or two, as I recall, that whoever led the class suggested. I had no idea as a teenager sitting in this class that one day, as a business leader, that I would be able to use, well, anything that I was being taught. So, kids, there's a lesson. Pay close attention. You never know. You just never know. That thing that you're learning right now and you think, well, I'm never going to use this. You just never know. So in this initiation class, we were introduced to study habits. And I freely admit my study habits were not very good. I was a good listener and I took great notes and I paid close attention in class and I did. Usually, I did the reading, and that got me through. I mean, I made good grades. The problem is you get to college, and the rules are very, very different. And so this initiation class introduced us to study habits that included setting aside blocks of time for specific tasks or classes. Now, that was very novel. That was very novel at the time. I remember thinking, and I know everybody else was in the room was thinking, we've never approached homework that way. Now, as I hit the record button today, it is Thursday, May the 3rd, 2012. So it's Thursday. So if I was in class today and the math teacher gave me homework that would be due tomorrow on Friday, yeah, I'd do that tonight. But if the teacher said this homework will be due on Monday, you think I'm going to do that homework on Thursday night? No, no more than you are. You think I'm going to do it Friday night? Absolutely not. You kidding me? It's not due till Monday. Saturday night? No, man, I've got a whole nother night. Sunday night, if I could remember that it was due on Monday, I'm gonna dive into that stuff on Sunday night, right? It's what everybody does. Well, not everybody, but most of us. So that's been the approach. That's been the approach all along. Homework or study was always approached from the specific assignment, and when's it due? Oh, it's not due for days? Plenty of time. Oh, it's due tomorrow? I better start making time. We wait until it becomes this urgent thing. Well, once I was in the business world, and frankly, I was always in the business world, even through high school, life was just not much different. Something would come up. It's urgent. It's got a compelling time issue or element. We got to jump on it. Well, then something else happens. And so we got to stop that. And now we got to change directions. We got to take off one hat. We got to put on another hat. And it was like, it was just like doing homework, but it was based solely on some imposed deadline. And it drives us crazy. It just drives us batty. Now, the year was 1975 when I was sitting in this college initiation classroom. And I can tell you, prior to that class, I had not thought about devoting some specific period of time to a specific class, some specific pursuit. It seemed odd to me at the time. I'd grown up doing homework just like I described. You've got math homework. It's due tomorrow. Okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do math. I've got an English paper. It's due tomorrow. Okay, I'm going to do that. And you do it until you've completed everything, or you blow it off and you don't complete anything. You know, and all along the way, there's, you got to read this, you got to write that, you got to solve this, you got to do, it's just this real hodgepodge of activity that you have to do. And as a student, my goal was the same as I perceive students have today. We just want to get through it. Some of us are more motivated than others to get good marks on it, to get good grades on it, but we really just want to get through it. We just really want to get it behind us. Not a whole lot of difference in business. Sometimes we just want to get through it, but there is a problem, and the problem is, how do you get through it? You don't seem to be able to get through it at all, because it's just a constant barrage and sea of interruptions, and I can't get this done, and I can't get that done, and we never, ever seem to get ahead of the curve. In school, you could at least get ahead of the curve. You could at least have a day here and a day there, maybe a week if you got really on a great roll. No homework. Not true in business. Because in business, no sooner do you have one problem solved, four more pop up. It's like that whack-a-mole game. Have you seen this thing? It's old. I remember taking to the kids to places like, I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese and stuff, and there's this whack-a-mole game, and it's, you know, it's like six holes, and this stuffed mole pops its head up, and you've got this mallet, and the job is to whack the mole the minute he pops his head up, and to whack him before he can put his head back down. And that's how business feels. It's a big whack-a-mole game. We're looking, we've got this huge sea of holes in front of us. And these moles pop up just randomly. And we're trying to whack this one. And next thing you know, another one pops up. And then another one. And it is maddening. Absolutely maddening. I have never, ever encountered a business owner, an entrepreneur, who didn't have this problem at some time or another. And it's a killer. It's a killer. Let me introduce you to the notion of block scheduling and make an application of this approach. And we're not talking about classes. it's much closer to the block scheduling that I was introduced to back in the mid-70s in a college initiation classroom as it related to doing homework and studying. And the concept, very simply, was this. And here was what the instructor had taught us. Set aside a block of time, if not daily, then multiple times weekly, to stay on top of each class. So let's assume that you have a biology class. You have biology 101, and you have that class, let's say you have that class on Tuesdays and Thursdays as a college student. Then you need to set some time aside to study for biology 101 and take a look at your schedule, take a look at the time that you have available, and let's say that on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, you have scheduled a block of time, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever it is, so that, say, between 8 and 9 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday night, the same day that you have the biology class that morning, but that night between 7 and 8, you're going to study biology 101. Well, but great. I don't have any homework. I don't have any real assigned reading today on Tuesday, so tonight between 7 and 8, free time. No. Block schedule. Between 7 and 8, you focus on the class. Maybe you get your class notes out, you review that, you turn over, you get proactive and read a little bit. If you're caught up with the reading, nothing wrong with reading ahead a little bit, but between 7 and 8, devote yourself to Biology 101 on Tuesday and Thursday nights. Yeah, you see why it made no sense to us as college kids? We're thinking, you're out of your mind. We don't do that. Now, let's take that concept, and as foolish as we might have thought that was as college kids, now think about your business. True story. I'm doing some marketing work and selling with a client. And this particular client, part of the process involved having an online conversation, potentially having an online demonstration of the product and services. Prior to my entrance into helping, these would happen on demand. I mean, there's no other way to word it, on demand. So, prospect reaches out, a lead comes in. Hey, can we get on the phone? Hey, can we jump on a GoToMeeting? Hey, and it's whack-a-mole. It's constant whack-a-mole. No other solution, right? I mean, prospects, we want to, can we talk to somebody right now? Yeah, absolutely. 30 minutes later, hey, can we talk to somebody now? Yeah. Can we talk to somebody now? Yeah. Phone rings. Hey, do you have time to jump on a line? Yeah. At the end of the day, a whole lot of conversation, not much results. Introduce block scheduling. One of the first things I did, and I said, "This let's stop this craziness because it's crazy, it's not productive, and it's the frustration factor is through the roof, as you could well imagine. And it's not very productive. It's not really resulting in sales." Well, that's always a problem in business. So we sat down, we talked about the schedule, and okay, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this other. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to set aside a block of time, and we've got multiple time zones that we have to take into account. So we're going to set aside a Tuesday, pick the morning or the afternoon, and we're going to set aside a Thursday, pick the morning or the afternoon. Make one be morning and one be afternoon. That way we can cover time zones, and we can do that every week. Well, that won't work. Why won't that work? Well, because people, you know, they need to be able to jump on the phone right now. No, they don't. This is big ticket, sophisticated, complex selling. So this isn't buy button kind of selling. And I said, no, not for this. These conversations need to go fairly deep. These are complex conversations that need to happen, and they need to happen with, you really got to be present. You just really have got to be present if you're going to make these conversations be profitable. Instantly, without any pushback whatsoever from prospects, from partners, from everybody involved. Worked like a champ. Game changer. Let me tell you what it accomplished, not only for that client, what it's accomplished for me through the years and what I know it will accomplish for you. And I want to give you these three things to consider as you consider those things, those activities that drive you crazy, and think about application in your business. The first thing that happens instantly, every single time that I have implemented block scheduling through the decades, is a reduction in anxiety. Makes sense, because our schedules drive us crazy. I can't get it all done. I know there's something I'm forgetting to do and I need to get it done. And it doesn't matter if you're a GTD fan. It doesn't matter if you're just a fan of the to-do list. Whatever structure you have tried or are trying, it doesn't matter what that is. If you don't have a grip on your schedule to the extent that you have some control of your time, I'm not going to be crazy and tell you you're going to have 100% control of all of your time, because things do happen. Disruption happens. I mean, we'd be crazy to deny it. But your anxiety can go down dramatically when you start thinking about what you need to do, how you need to do it, and what times you can devote to that, and make your block scheduling as ideal for you and your situation as you can. And no, you're not going to get it right out of the gate necessarily. You might, but it might need some tweaking. Don't fall in love with the first iteration of your block scheduling. Be willing to adapt it and morph as you get feedback. You're going to know pretty quickly if it works or not. For this one client, there was no pushback. Had we gotten some pushback, we would have morphed and adapted and changed. We set aside some blocks of time that we thought would accommodate the current volume of conversations that needed to happen. We plugged them in on Tuesday mornings and Thursday afternoons from one specific hour to another specific hour, a defined period of time, blocks, and nailed it down and just said, that's that. So if somebody were to say, well, hey, can you get with me on Wednesday at 10 a.m.? No, but I can tell you what I can do. I've got 10 a.m. next Tuesday available if mornings are best for you, or I've got this Thursday afternoon. And when you give people a choice, no more than two, just a hint, no more than two, they'll pick one. They'll pick one. The odds are favorable. Anxiety, we get so amped up because we just know there are things that are slipping, and we get frustrated because we want to work on something that we believe is important and very well may be, and we can't get to it because we've got all this unimportant but urgent stuff that dictates our time. And we get to a point where we feel out of control, and it's a frustrating feeling. It's an especially frustrating feeling for a small business owner, for a business owner, for an entrepreneur, for people that are typically kind of control freaks anyway. It drives us out of our mind. So that's compelling reason number one. Compelling reason number two is you will get more done. You just get more done. I don't know if you're a reader. I'm a reader, and I'm reading all the time. But my reading is so much more profitable when I devote a block of time to it, and I turn everything off, and I just sit and I devote myself, and I'm like, okay, I've got this book right here. I'm going to spend 30 minutes doing nothing but reading this book. That is significantly more profitable than, okay, let's see, I'm going to be in a car and I'm not driving, so I'm going to have 20 minutes, so I'll grab the book. And you just try to wedge it in. You just try to fit it in, as opposed to there's this precise time that it starts and a precise time that it ends, and I know that in between those times, this is what I'm going to be doing. There's something very different about it. You get more done, even if it's reading, and it's more profitable stuff getting done. Because we've got our attention. There's this whole thing about being there, being in the moment. Block scheduling allows us to get more done because we can be there. We're not, our head isn't somewhere else. We're not distracted. We're not preoccupied. This is the block of time that we devote ourselves to this, period. And there's this switch that happens in our head that helps us get our mind focused on the task at hand. Whether that's reading, whether that's writing, whether that's podcasting, no matter what it is that we're doing. So that's compelling reason number two, is you get more done. Now, here's the biggie. Number three, you make more money. You make more money. I've grown fond through the years of asking business owners to calculate their hourly wage. If you were paid by the hour, I will ask clients, what would that hourly rate be? Well, I don't know. Well, let's calculate it. What were your annual earnings last year? What was your personal income last year? They'll throw out some number. How many hours did you work last year? And that one's usually infinitely harder. If you put a dollar sign in front of it, business owners can tell you pretty quick. But when you start looking at time, it's amazing how few of them have a clue how much they really worked. Well, you know, I mean, some days I worked 12, 14 hours. Other days, yeah, I worked four. Well, put a number on it. 2,080 hours is a 40-day work week, a 40-hour work week, I should say. So 2,080 hours would be basically a no-overtime kind of a work week. And they'll think. And usually we have to get a calculator out. We have to do some calculations. But they'll plug in some number. And it's more than that, by the way, for most. It's going to be more than 2,080 hours. And then we'll divide it. And we'll get some kind of a number. So that's their hourly rate. They haven't thought about that. They just have not looked at their life that way, and they haven't thought about making money, and they haven't really thought enough about what is their time worth. And now when you're talking about block scheduling, because what you're talking about basically is getting command of your time, and we're trying to reduce the anxiety, we're trying to get more done, and the big bottom line is absolutely true. Compelling reason number three, we want to make more money. We want to make more money. Now, you win all the way around. And there are tons of other compelling reasons, but these are the big three. Now, it just doesn't get much better than that. So they'll do the calculation. They'll come up with some hourly number. And sometimes they might be surprised at how high it is, but more often than not, they're surprised at how low it is. And they think, man, that's pretty depressing. Well, now let's think about what you'd like to be worth, I will ask. And so let's start with a number, and let's start with a number that's got a dollar sign in front of it, because we all, that's what we want. We all get excited about that. So what's the dollar amount? This year, what's the dollar amount you'd like to say? You'd like to look back in the rearview mirror when you hit January 1, 2013 and say, man, in 2012, I had a killer year. I made X. What would X be? And it doesn't matter what it would be. Is it 40,000? Is it 60,000? Is it 80,000? Is it 100? Is it 200? Is it 300? Is it 400? Is it half a million? Is it a million? Is it 2 million? How much is it? That usually is an easier number to come by. The difficulty that it seems to me that business owners have in answering that number is wondering if they're thinking, some wonder if they're thinking too big, and others wonder if they're thinking big enough. So I've seen it rub both ways. But they'll typically give it time, and they work through it, and they come up with a number. Okay, write that number down. Now let's take the 2,080 hours. Let's assume that, shall we? And the way that you get that, of course, is a 52-hour or a 52-week year, 40 hours a week, get you 2,080. Okay, so there's a paid vacation there. Well, okay, so what? So we take 2,080. Let's assume that you're going to work. Let's assume that you're going to work no more than 40 hours. And in some cases, it depends on the lifestyle that the guy's got or she's got. And we may reduce it. But for this exercise, let's just pick a number. And let's say that the person wants to make $200,000 this year. And we divide that by 2,080, and we come up with an hourly rate of $96.15. And let's assume that their current rate is half that. They've done the calculation based on what they made last year and based on the hours they worked. They figured that they made no more than $45 an hour or so. $96 an hour. So now when you're thinking about all these interruptions and all this inane activity that you engage in, just think to yourself, is this worth $96.15? Here's where this really, and this is kind of a side note, but here's where this hits a number of small business owners that I have worked with in the past. When it comes to things that they hire out, done. And there is something to the generations, because this does tend to be a bigger problem with older folks than it is younger folks. To pay somebody to do something that you could do yourself just seems ridiculous to a number of people, particularly older folks. And I constantly reiterate to people, if you are worth $96.15 an hour, and you can pay somebody $25 to maintain your pool or to mow your yard or to paint your house, why would you trade $96.15 for $25? You shouldn't. But when it comes to block scheduling, this can be a real game changer, because you can make more money when you put the focus where it needs to be. Entrepreneurs and business owners tend to have this gut knowledge, especially if they've got any experience at all and they've got some wisdom. They really know where the money comes from. You just can't be successful in business until you really know where the money comes from and you know where the money's going. So a knowledge about money, income and outflow, it's pretty basic and fundamental. And you get down to the root of it. And I've not met too many business people who couldn't very quickly get their hands around and fully explain and clearly explain, this is where we make money. And conversely, most can tell you rather quickly, this is where we lose money. Now we make application of those two facts to block scheduling, and now you've got something. You've got something. And invariably, here's what the entrepreneur already knows. I'm spending my time in the stuff that doesn't make me money. And sometimes I'm spending my time in the stuff that's costing me money. So not only am I not contributing to the $96.15 an hour that I'm worth, but I'm taking money out of my pocket. I'm coming to work every day and I'm costing myself money. Yeah, you are. Simply because you can't get a handle on, or you can't figure out how to get a handle on, schedule. And what are you going to do with your time? Let me end on this note, because it just seems to be so true for so many people. We take a look at stuff and we think, I want that. For the guy who's making $100,000 and would love to make $200,000 and is thinking, $96.15, man, how in the world am I going to make $96.15? First, you've got to think it's possible. And second of all, you've got to look at your life as a resource. And while entrepreneurs can usually very quickly give you a number that has a dollar sign on it, it really isn't the most important number. The most important number is one that has hours and seconds behind it, not dollar signs in front of it. Because your time, well, your time is priceless. Everybody's time is really priceless. But we have to apply some kind of calculation, and we got to take some mathematical thing into account, because it is business and it is the practical reality of it. And the fact is, if you want to make $200,000 and you don't want to work night and day, and you want to work a normal 40-hour week, then you've got to consider that your time is worth $96.15 an hour. But you and I both know it's worth a whole lot more than that. So consider your life and consider the resource that is your life, and maybe let that be an inspiration for implementing things like block scheduling, so that you devote some time to the things that matter most in your business and in your life, and you say, this is the time that I devote to this. This is the time that I devote to the very thing that you're trying to talk to me about. So come back to me then. It'll change your world, I'm telling you. Well, I keep an open door, and, you know, I couldn't possibly do that. Why not? Somebody comes to your door, they've got a specific thing. It's not urgent. But they think it is. It doesn't have any time component. You know how many businesses chase their tail because they think things are urgent? And when you stop and you ask a question, could we do this later? I can't tell you how many business owners I've tried to teach. Just ask the question, can we do this later? Most have reported to me, and in my experience, I have found it to be true most of the time. You know what the answer is? Oh, sure, sure. They come in with a sense of urgency, and we set our hair on fire because we buy into it. When the fact is, you know what? It's not urgent. And when we stop and we pause long enough to say, can this wait? And they say, yes, then great. Tomorrow, between this time and this time, let's meet about it. Block scheduling. Reduce your anxiety. Get more done. Make more money. Well, there it is. Another episode in the books. Boy, they're just clipping right along, aren't they? Episode 126. Do me a favor. I've only got one favor, one call to action today, and that is go over to iTunes and leave me a review. I would love for it to be a positive review. four stars, five stars, whatever the max is, but that's all right. Be honest. I'm not asking you to lie. You can reach me at Twitter, Randy Cantrell. Pretty easy. All kinds of ways to connect with me. They're all at the website. I appreciate you for listening. I hope you're finding some helpful resources here. Till next time, I'll see you.